Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 225 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 great co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg, who is sitting in a well-lit room while I'm sitting here in the dark room. So very different looks on our cameras here. But Mr. Clegg, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
It's a Monday. You know, obviously, yeah. Or a day later because weather was kind of crappy here in Maine. We had a lot of rain, a lot of wind, even a tornado warning, even though we never get tornadoes. But
yeah, that's
their fancy way of saying it's going to be pretty windy. And so we had Yeah, we probably could have recorded it. It didn't end up being as bad as expected, but lights were flickering a few times, so it might have been a little difficult. But yeah, so a day late, but hey, never a bad day to talk about some baseball.
Not at all. Looking forward to doing so.
So this is kind of like part two of what day was it we did that? Was that Friday's episode where we did some mid-season kind of dynasty targets. We did MLB players in that episode. Now we go to the prospect ranks here and give you a dozen total prospects to target right now in dynasty leagues. And again, these can be for various reasons, whether it's, you know, buy low because of an injury, buy low because of performance, buy high, you know, various reasons why we're looking to buy these guys. And we'll start off the show with some short-term and long-term expectations on some recent promotions. Had a nice little cluster of promotions over the last couple of days since the All-Star break. Always nice to see. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping here. You can find us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack, DynastyDugout.com, and my Patreon, ToolShedFantasy.com. For more work from each of us, including all of our prospect, dynasty, and FYPD rankings, all of which we've been updating recently, adding in the new draftees, always a fun time. So make sure to go check out those out. We greatly appreciate the support. But all right, let's hop right into it, Chris, with the promotions here. First, we got three kind of bigger ones, all in the National League Central, starting with Christian Encarnacion Strand. Just when I was, you know, obviously you get a lot of questions, I'm sure you do as well, about, hey, when's he going to be up? You know, whether it was on Twitter or in our respective Discords, like, hey, when's he going to be up? And if I got to the point where I'm like, I don't think he's actually coming up soon. You look at how the Cincinnati Reds lineup was shaking out, like from top to bottom, it's really, really good lineup and not really any hole. It's like with the, you know, bringing up Ellie, McClain, you know, Steer, Benson's been doing good, Friedel, Fraley, obviously you got, you know, Votto India as well. So it looked like there was any spot for him, and I'm still kind of not sure where he's going to start. Right. So in his debut today on Monday night, he's hitting seventh in the DH spot. Spencer Steer has a night off. Maybe it's some rotation of first base, DH, maybe a little third, maybe a right field. You only had a couple of games in right field before they kind of stopped doing that. But first off, let's look at the short-term value here of Encarnacion Strand. Would you be looking to target him in redraft? And if so, how aggressive would you be given the uncertainty surrounding his playing time?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. You don't call him up to sit on the bench. And I think that he should be rostered pretty much everywhere for the power. He has cut the chase over, you look at a rolling chart of his chase rate and it's gone significantly down. He was sitting near 50% chase at one point, now sitting near 40% for the season. Over the last month, it's been like 32% chase, which is really good. So that obviously is a big factor. He mashes the ball, has 20 home runs, and you know, in Great American Ballpark, he'd probably have like 28, 30 because right. It's the kind of power that he has. And yeah, you know, it's just a ballpark that fits him well. So it's good to see him walking. That's the most encouraging thing because at one point in the season, he was not walking a bit, and that was a major, major concern. But now we've seen everything kind of trend in the right direction. More walks, less strikeouts. I mean, over the last month and a half, 14.3% walk rate. Yes, I know they use the automatic ball strike system there. I got you, but still, it's a major improvement from the beginning of the season. So I'm pretty excited for Christian Encarnacion Strand. He couldn't even fit his name on his jersey. Thought that was funny when they put the picture of his uniform. It was just Encarnacion. So I'm picking him up everywhere I can.
It kind of reminds me, remember Jared Saltalamacchia?
Oh, yeah. He was with the Braves for a little bit.
Yeah, both Braves and Red Sox there. That'd be good. Ooh, that'd be good if we ever get on the Immaculate Grid. Yeah. We ever get a square which lines up the Sox and the Braves. Yeah, that'd be a good one to use. That'd probably be I try to get, I guess, like not the obvious answers for like some of these, you know, unknown guys or lesser known guys. But that'd be a good one for that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that reminds me of like how his name like started like underneath his left shoulder blade and just went up and around like this big old half moon semicircle thing. And yeah, it's the same thing. So I think that's even a longer name. So Saltalamacchia was what, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like 13 or 14. Encarnacion Strands. Encarnacion is 2, 4, so 8, a dash, and then 6 more. So, yeah, I think when you throw that dash in, it's probably, yeah, probably longer. So they came in, they couldn't even fit Saltalamacchia. There's no way to fit in that. So, but yeah, back to the actual player here. Yeah, it is nice to see that he started walking more because look at, in April and May, 33 combined games. His walk rate during that time was only 6.5%, which isn't terrible, but it's not good either. And then in June and July, 34 games, so pretty even split there. Walk rate more than doubled, up to 14.3%. You know, K rate dropped as well. K rate in the first 2 months of the season, it wasn't even that bad, 25.2%. But then in the last 2 months from June 1st on, down to 18.6%, all while still hitting for power. You know, didn't quite have the 10 home runs he hit in May, but still 6 home runs in his last 34 games, 11 doubles as well. So, yeah, I am very excited about Encarnacion Strand. I agree that, well, I still don't know, like, where he'll, like, what the breakdown of where he's going to be in on the field or in, you know, in the lineup's going to be. He's going to play regularly. I don't know who's. Again, I think it's going to be some like rotating thing where they, you know, rotate him into a couple different spots and give some of the guys a day off here and there. but I don't think it's gonna hurt anybody, any one player in particular, but I do think he's gonna be in the lineup. And you know, this is a guy that could easily just crank like 15 home runs the rest of the way with a solid average as well. So yeah, definitely in long term, I think he's like baby Pete Alonso. I'm not gonna say he's gonna be Pete Alonso. That's very unfair because Alonso's obviously been one of the best power hitters in the game for the last half decade or so. But I think he could just, you know, be again Pete Alonso light, kind of be like a 260, 270 guy. So maybe even a better average than Pete. Pete's struggling to hit for average this year, and a guy that could hit 35 plus home runs at that ballpark. So yeah, definitely very much in on Encarnacion Strand. I think he could be a top 10, maybe even. You think top five? Let's assume he's going to be a first baseman mostly. You think he could be a top five fantasy first baseman at peak?
I don't know. I'm not sure the average is going to be there. Like the power obviously will be there, but there's a pretty stacked group at the top. So I don't think I
there can is,
top
yeah.
five on him.
Yeah. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but yeah, I think that is a little high, but I think definitely top 10. I think he could absolutely get up into that range. Moving over to the two from Pittsburgh here, we got Andy Rodriguez and Quinn Priester getting the call up here. So Pittsburgh starting that little youth movement, you know, the next wave of the youth movement, I should say. So let's start with Andy here, Chris. You know, just turned 23, but a month and a half ago this year, you know, not bad, but it's kind of a, you know, safe to say it's a step back from his 2022 performance. If you look at last year, slash 323, 407, 590 in 125 games between high A, double A, and even a little bit of time in triple A to end the season. Had 39 doubles, 25 home runs, walk rate over 10%, K rate below 20%. So that kind of altered him way up prospect rankings. And then this year, you know, 268, 356, 415, 16 doubles, 6 home runs in 67 games in AAA Indianapolis. So power, you know, slugging's dropped, you know, nearly 200 points. ISO has dropped over 100 points, only on like a, you know, right around like a 15 or so homer pace right now. So definitely you've seen the power drop off a little bit. So kind of like how do you project Andy moving forward? Is he a guy that you think could maybe be a back end start, you know, C1 for fantasy teams? Or are you thinking more kind of like a second catcher option long term?
Oh, I think that this year's probably going to be a pretty big adjustment period for him. It's like everybody wanted to rush out and like get him for this year. And I'm not sure like I'm that in on him for this year. If he's like 15 catchers are starting, then yeah, I think I'm good to go pick him up. If he's available, I can redraft. But longer term, like I think he's going to be okay. I think we kind of forget about the aspects of how hard it is to adjust to be a catcher at the major league level, as well as hitting. And we're talking about, you know, he's hitting from the left side. He's going to face some hard pitches. And I don't know. I like Andy Rodriguez a lot. I don't want to be down on him from last year at all, but he has regressed. He's been better over the last month. But the, like I said, I think there's going to be a major adjustment period. And it's more the fact that I'm not sure what kind of power he gets to. The EVs are up from last year, like a good bit. But he's also hitting a ton more infield fly balls, which is concerning to me. And then you think about the switch hitting aspect. Like, he's going to face some really tough pitchers from yeah. both sides of the plate that he really hasn't had to experience before. And I'm wondering if that hurts him a bit. You know, we'll obviously find out sooner or later if it does or not. But I'm interested. I think Andy's going to be really good long-term. He's a gamer. I listened to his interview with Arm Layton, which was really good. And he just has that drive about him. So,
yep.
you know, he's going to be a good player. But I'm not, like, overly crazy about him this year only.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good, just not a great player. And I think I went a little too high with him, with my rankings of him last year. I pushed him, like, you know, top 25 or close to it. That was a bit high. I think he's more like a, you know, 75-ish range for me now. But, you know, where would you who would you rather have moving forward, him or like a Gabriel Moreno?
I mean, I guess I'd rather take a chance on Andy because I think there's more fantasy upside. I mean, you know what Gabriel Moreno brings to the table. It's a good batting average, but not much else, to be honest. So
yeah, and I think I'm there with you. This Pittsburgh lineup could be, you know, once they get Brian Hayes back, once they get O'Neill Cruz back, this is actually kind of a fun little lineup. You know, Sawinski's been hitting really well. Obviously, Brian Reynolds is still going to be there moving forward. you know, these brought Henry Davis recently, or not, you know, but a month or so ago, whatever that was. Dick Gonzalez recently as well. So now Endy, you know, Carlos Santana is having a little resurgence lately. So this could be a fun little team here if they get some more pitching, because it's really Mitch Keller, a bunch of crap, and then they just added Quinn Priester to it. So, well, speaking of Quinn Priester, though, he's another one that I'm just, I mean, I think he's solid. Like, Quinn Priester screams number four starter to me now. Like, I once kind of thought of him as like a high end three. Now I'm more just, you know, number four, like through and through. Guy that could be, you know, a four ERA guy, you know, 1-3 whip, something like that. League around the league average K, right? 21-22%. He just hasn't missed bats. And this is a guy that I've seen live both in double A and out in the AFL. I know you saw him out in the AFL as well. And maybe even, you know, did you see him in high A by chance?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah. So we've both seen him in various spots. But you know, I was never really blown away by him in my live looks. I mean, curveball and slider are both decent, but he was super inconsistent with them. Didn't miss bats consistently with them, especially. So I don't know. I think he's solid. I think he's decent, but he's another one where I'm just, you know, I think the perceived value on him is probably a bit higher than I would like it to be. So he's not kind of one I'm really rushing out to go get either.
Yeah, I agree. He keeps adding pitches, and there's so much inconsistency with him. I don't know. I mean, I think he's fine, but I'm not like overly crazy about him. And I don't see the need to go like pay up for him. I think he's going to be fine. He has a good connection with Indy Rodriguez, so that'll be fun as they both, you know, I saw they were the first pitcher and catcher tandem to debut on the same day since like 1930 something, which is kind of cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, so a cool feat there for them. Funny enough, he's actually pitching pretty well right now as we're talking live. He's faced 9 batters, has 8 ground outs, and 1 line out. So
again, yeah, so no strikeouts there, but yeah.
Yep.
Pretty solid out. I don't have the game from. Who's he facing? Oh, Cleveland.
They're Cleveland, yeah.
So Cleveland's up, looks like 2-0 in the fourth there. G-Rod's, you know, obviously G-Rod got called back up too. We talked a lot about G-Rod, but he was out there pumping 101 in the first. That was great to see. He's given up 1 run, and they're in the bottom of the fifth against the Dodgers too. I wasn't sure I was a start him this week. I ended up starting him where I had him, but I was like, he's facing the Dodgers tonight, and then I think he got Tampa Bay later this week, I want to say. So, or no, or was it Texas? I think it was Texas actually. So yeah, two pretty tough pitching matchups there. So, but yeah, looking really good tonight. So, but we've talked enough about G-Rod on the podcast over the last month or two, so we figured we wouldn't go, you know, in depth on him once again. But moving over to our prospects to buy here. Again, we got a dozen names, 6 from each of us that we're looking to buy for whatever reason in Dynasty Leagues right now. Chris will start it off with a middle infielder from the American League Central.
So I wrote an article just the other day about prospects to buy in the second half before their value takes off. And Colson Montgomery was one of the first targets. You know, he's definitely a bigger name. He is considered a top prospect in a lot of circles, but I think he's a really good trade candidate, to be honest. He's missed significant time due to injury. I think there's a good chance you can still get him at a discounted price at this point. Like, he's dealt with an oblique and a back injury so far. Sherry's back. He's rehabbing. So he's been pretty solid. We saw him at the complex for a bit, and now he's in high A, in which he's slashing 478, 657, 696. Small sample, but I just really believe in Colson's power hit. We're talking about a really good athlete who was recruited to play basketball, D1, like big-time basketball athlete. He hits the ball hard. He makes a ton of contact. Like, his in-zone contact last year was like 88.8%, which is really, really good. And his exit velocities were really good for a prep last year, considering that there's still plenty of room for him to fill out his frame. So Colson Montgomery kind of screams to me like he's plus hit, plus power, and a very athletic, like I saw him last year, he's very athletic, plays the position well. I'm a big fan, and I think he'll be a top 25, could even be a top 15 prospect fairly soon. So I would get him. The data's just very, very good on him. Patient hitter, good contact, good power. Not going to get much speed, but I like this profile for fantasy and one that I would go ahead and acquire now.
So given what you just said, so you think the bats could be good enough to get up to that range, even in spite of him not really having much impact on the bases?
Yeah, I mean, there's other guys we rank that high that, I mean, like, you look at other people like that are, I have Kobe Mayo 12th. Like, he's going to provide nothing with speed. Christian Encarnacion Strand, nothing with his legs. Like, a lot of these guys don't, Kyle Manzardo, nothing with his legs. Like, and Colson has just as good of a bat as all those guys. And the data kind of backs that and supports it. So I've probably got 7-8 guys in my top 20 that do nothing with their legs. So I think that the hit plus power, I mean, he could be a 280 hitter that hits 25 to 30 bombs regularly.
Yeah, I think where I'm just, there's a little bit of a holdup for me, is, and I'm not disagreeing with anything you just said. It's just, where's that game power? He hasn't really shown that game power yet. I think absolutely has that potential, but I think that's kind of why I don't have him on that range yet, because those other guys really have shown that game power. You know, Kobe Mayo, who I may or may not be talking about in a little bit here, has shown that game power. So I think that's my personal holdup right now. If he start, but obviously, like 17 games this year, he's been phenomenal. He has almost double as many walks as strikeouts, hitting 400 with OBP near 600. So obviously, he's been great this year in limited time between rookie ball and the high A. So we shall see. But yeah, I think that's kind of like where I'm at. Yeah, obviously, I still have him top 100 right now. But you know, I want to see if he can get to that game power consistently, then I'll move him up a ton as well. Because, yeah, the bat is good. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to start over with a pitcher, actually, a guy that I've written up a couple times, maybe even more than that, over on my prospect notes on my Patreon. And that's Yumin Lin from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Just turned 20 back on the 12th of July and just made his Double-A debut. You know, Arizona made a bunch of promotions, you know, in over the All-Star break, and Lin was one of them and looked really good in his Double-A debut. 6 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Struck out 8 of the 21 batters he's faced. That drops his ERA on the season down to 3.12 in 14 starts. He struck out in 66 and a third innings, 32.6% of batters. And walk rate is, you know, a decent 8.9%. He's a little undersized at 5'11", 160. Don't know if there's a lot more projection, maybe a little bit of projection left, but not a ton. But kind of has a deceptive arm slot. It's like a lower release point, which adds some deception to his delivery. And, you know, the secondaries are pretty good. You know, I think he's got a really good slider, really good changeup. You know, fastball has ticked up, doesn't have the best velocity with his fastball, but it's kind of ticked up a bit this year in the low 90s. And again, just pretty good command and control as well, especially the command. I think, you know, control is probably average to above average. Command, I think, is a tick above that. So again, not a guy that's blowing anybody away, not like that super flashy name, but I think just a solid arsenal here that he commands incredibly well. And again, he's 20 years old in Double-A now, looking really good. And I think he's still, the perceived value hasn't really caught up. Like, I have him close to my top 100 overall, and I might even put him in there. So he's getting up near, like, he's only about, currently, this might change before I actually post this update, he's about 10 spots behind Kyle Harrison. And I know Harrison's been a huge prospect name, but it has the higher upside. But I think Lynn's got a higher floor here, and this is not being talked about as much as he should. So I'm trying to go out and get Yumin Lin in any league I can right now.
Yep, so I'm going to head over to an arm two, kind of the polar opposite of Lynn, who is tiny and can't throw over 90 miles an hour. And that's Noah Schultz, who is 6'7" and has a big fastball in the mid to upper 90s, sits 95, 96, touches up to 98 from what I've seen. Watched all his starts so far this year and was supposed to be at his start on Saturday. Unfortunately, had a funeral to attend, so wasn't able to make it to see him live on Saturday when he was in Columbia, but still watched it on TV, and dude just shoves, man. His slider, fastball, both easily plus, and you look at just the deceptiveness of his arm slot, the extension that he gets from a 6'7" frame, and he's just a workhorse. Like, yes, he's just still building up from injury. Like, he had a flexor tendon strain, and so they're building him up. Like, he had a pitch limit through 2.1 innings on Saturday, but dude's been absolutely stellar from all that we've seen this year. Him in single A. I'm not sure if we see him in high A this year or not, as they're kind of slow building him, but he's yet to allow a run in 14 innings. He says good command, 4% walk rate, 42% K rate. Like, this dude, I put him in the top 50, and I'm not sure that the value's there yet, but it'll catch up. I mean, he's 19, he'll be 20 in August, but drafty last year, I didn't even lie, he's 6'9". I'm sorry, I lied about his height. He's even bigger, but yeah, Noah Schultz just does a lot of things well. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching him, breaking him down, seeing what he brings to the table, and I'm all in on him. I think that this is an arm that you should get in onto before the value takes off. Those two pitches are pretty stellar. He'll mix in a change every now and then, but the fastball slider combo are extremely, extremely good.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, and all he really needs is that changeup just to be like a serviceable third offering. Yep. That's all he really needs. With how good the fastball and slider are and have a potential of being long-term, if he can just get like even average would be great, but even like a fringe average changeup, just to have something else to go to if one of those two isn't really effective in any given start, I think would be definitely helpful. But yeah, obviously the upside is there. He's very intriguing as a guy that's nearly a foot taller than the guy I talked about. I always got that intrigue with these big, tall lefties. So, yeah, definitely like Nolan Schultz as well. I'm going over to another arm here. My last arm in this segment here, and the rest of the guys I'm talking about are all hitters. I'm going with Marco Raya from the Minnesota Twins, another guy that's 20 years old who just got the Double-A a couple starts ago. And overall, 39 in the third innings this year, 297 ERA. Okay, 39 in the third innings. I already said that. Whips under 1, 0.97. And 46 strikeouts, just 13 walks. He's got to also kind of feel just undervalued right now, which is kind of the theme I'm going with here, at least with these two arms here. It's a really good big fastball. A lot of arm side run on it, and it has a pretty good pair of breakers as well. Curve and slider both are above average to plus offerings as well, mixing the changeup at times as well. And I think there's potential for above average, command and control here as well. So, looking at a well-rounded arsenal that he can go to in any counts, the slider is really, really good. Two-plane break on that. He has four different velocity bands as well, which is really encouraging to see. Fastball has ticked up a little bit this year from the looks of it as well. So it can get up to 94, 95, even higher, again, with that good riding action. And another arm that just isn't getting talked about as much as he probably should. And he's looking really good as a 20-year-old in Double A right now. And I think, once he has a few more starts under his belt in Double-A, I think the price is only going to go up from here. At least I'm pretty sure it's going to. And he's a guy that I even undervalued earlier in the season, but I've corrected that over my last couple of ranking updates here, June, July or so. So, yeah, Marco Raya is my next target. Back over to Chris with another arm in the AL Central.
Yep, this one is one that just the surface numbers don't support any way he's pitched this year, and that's David Festa, who has a 5.21 ERA and a 1.4 whip on the year. He is significantly better than that, and if you watched any of the futures game, then you saw on display what David Festa can bring to the table. He's got extremely good stuff, and he's had a lot of bad luck go his way too. When you look at the results that he's gotten this year in Double-A, I mean, he's running a 350 BABIP, which is way high. It's much higher. League average sits like below 300. He's got a 61% strand rate, which is well below average as well. So those things just kind of scream regression. He's walking less than 10% of batters, got 30% K rate, checks all the boxes with a 15.3% swinging strike rate as well. The pitch mix is pretty stellar. He tops out at 98. ton of ride up in the zone. Like, he just pumps the fastball up. Sliders in the upper 80s, gets a lot of depth to it. Change up had 15 up to 15 inches of arm side run. Like, this is a very polished arsenal that if people just look at the overall numbers, they're going to be like, okay, I don't want nothing to do with this guy. But you look under the hood a little bit, and he's got a 3.78 FIP and a 3.63 XFIP. So the second half is going to be one for Festa where he has a really good year. And I think he's going to be talked about as a top 100 guy. That's David Festa of the Twins, teammate of Marco Raya.
Yeah, some sneaky good pitching prospects there with the Minnesota Twins. Already got a good rotation up there in Minnesota. These guys could be adding to it in the next couple of years. I will stick in the AL Central, but go over to the hitting side of things and go with a guy that people have heard me talk about before, but I think it's a great time to buy this guy right now, and that's Chase DeLauter from the Cleveland Guardians, their first-round pick from last year, 16th overall. Obviously missed some time due to injury. He's been back for about a month now. In 19 games, he put 9 in the complex level to kind of get back in the swing of things. Now he's been back up for 10 games with High A Lake County in the Midwest League. And in those 10 games, slashing 462, 488, 744, 8 doubles in the home run, 2 walks to 5 strikeouts. You know, oddly enough, not really walking a ton in the last 10 games. It's something he's always been, you know, high walk rate guy, high OBP guy. I mean, I still think that's the case. Like, everything that I thought about Chase DeLauter back when he was drafted, you know, was the reason why I was probably one of the higher ones on him in FYPD rankings. It's still there. Like, I still think this is a plus power bat, and he's shown that there's the absolutely plus raw power there. Even though he's a, you know, 6'4", 235, there's good athleticism here, at least above average speed as well. He's already, you know, showing that he still wants to run. He has 5 steals this year, only been caught once. I think that he's at least going to be a double-digit steal guy. You know, maybe even get up into the mid-teens, you know, 15, give or take. I think that's not out of the realm possibility. I think this is a 25-plus home run and power bat. I think the contact skills are going to be solid enough, too. I think, well, he might be a little more valuable in OBP format because he's always shown, you know, high walk rate, good, you know, doesn't swing and miss too much either. So maybe a little bit more value in OBP, but I think we'll hit for a decent average, too. And I think this is a potential, you know, again, like 260 or more hitter, 25 plus home runs, 10 plus steals. Guy's going to give you a good OBP as well. And, you know, again, he's athletic. He's playing, he's kind of split time in the minor leagues. Again, small sample size since he was drafted, but between center field and right field, you know, so some good athleticism there. And I think the value is only going to skyrocket. I think you're going to see a big second half of the season for Chase DeLauter, and a guy that I think could be top 25 by end of the season. I really believe the skills are there, and I'm 100% all in on DeLauter, and this probably is going to be the lowest his price tag ever is. So definitely go out and get some Chase DeLauter right now. All right, back over to Chris for who's he got here? Oh, a guy that's very interesting as a prospect.
Yeah, so I was kind of out on Aurelvis Martinez, but I'm back in. He made some changes. He's improved throughout this year. He's 21 in AA, and I think he's going to get the bump to AAA pretty soon. 17 home runs on the year. He was so bad at the beginning of the year, and he's got that slash line up to a nice 226, 339, 485. So obviously still not that great, but you look at the improvements month over month, and since June 1st, he's slashing 298, 419, 465, striking out just 18% of the time with a 16.5% walk rate, 3 home runs over that span. He's just mashing the ball and seeing the strikeouts come down, seeing the contact rate just fly up significantly. It's a pleasant surprise. And yeah, I've got some good feedback on it from people that have seen him a good bit. I know Jeff Ponce has seen him a lot. Has spoken very highly of the changes that he's made and how he's improved this year as a 21-year-old in AA. And he's just kind of proving the test and doing really good. And I can't argue the results and can't argue the contact. The power's always been there. I mean, he hits the ball extremely hard. But now that we're seeing the contact rates come up, I think that Aurelvis is a borderline top 100 fantasy prospect. And for how much he gets crapped on, and I was guilty of that. Like, I certainly had him pretty low. Like, I'm back in on him because I think the changes are there, and he's just made pretty significant improvements.
Yeah, I think if anyone's guilty of crapping on Aroldis, I'm definitely near the top of that list for sure. Can fully admit that. You know, I'm not quite ready to go back top 100 on him, but I have him back within my 200 for sure, and he's closer to 150 than 200 as I'm trying to find him. Oh, yeah, right now I have him at 164. I might obviously maybe go up even up a little higher than that. But yeah, like looking at the issue with him was never too much swing and miss. It was just making contact. It was, you know, he'd always shown that big power. I've seen him live a bunch of times. Not recently, though, but I'll see him this week as New Hampshire's in town. So I haven't seen him since early on this season. So it'll be fun to see, you know, see the changes live and see what I think now. But yeah, definitely he's right at the ship. There's no doubt about that. He kind of bottomed out earlier in the year, but has slowly been, you know, every update for me has been going up, you know, another 15, 20 spots, and yeah, definitely back well within my top 200 now, and he's absolutely deserved it. I will stick in the AL East and go over to a guy that is probably the highest ranked of any of the guys on this list right now, but I'm looking to buy high right now. Kobe Mayo is an absolute middle of the order stud waiting to happen. Hit very well. He was just promoted to AAA recently as a 21-year-old, has three games there, but in 78 games and 347 plate appearances for AA Bowie in the Double Eastern League, which is more of a pitcher friendly in a crappy weather early in the season league, was very well. 307, 424, 603, 30 doubles and 17 home runs in just those 78 games. You know, walk rate was a great 14.7%, and kept the strikeouts in check as well at 24.8%. This is a guy with double plus power. This could be a 35, even as a right-handed hitter with the deeper left field at Camden Yards. Like, this still could be a 35 home run bat. I truly believe that. And a guy that I think is a hit for a high average as well. I think 270 plus is definitely in play here, and a good OBP. I think this could be a four category stud that could probably hit somewhere in the middle of, I don't know where he'll hit in that Baltimore lineup, because kind of like with Cincinnati, it's kind of becoming loaded top to bottom. But I think this guy will find somewhere in the middle of that lineup. So be a lot of runs scored, a lot of RBI as well, hitting, you know, with all those young talent around him. So I think he's going to be a four-category stud, a guy that could be, you know, fast forward 5 years from now, and this could be a guy we're drafting in like the third or round or so of fantasy draft. I think he could be a top five third baseman. I think maybe not quite on, you know, like Rafi Devers, Joe Ram range, but, you know, not close, you know, not far from it either. I think you can get right up close to that level, maybe a slight step down, but maybe even a top 25, top 30 player overall if everything clicks. Because the bat is really, really good here. Like, this is one of those guys I absolutely think can be, you know, I already have him pushing top 10 in my prospect rankings right now. I think he's like 14 for me right now, because this bat is absolutely legit. Love the team context, love the ballpark. You know, I think Camden Yards is still a decent place to, you know, the hit, even with the deeper left field. I think it's still not a bad place to hit. So all in on Kobe Mayo. I would buy high because I think the price tag is only going to go up from here. But Chris, do you want some mayo for your nachos here?
Don't know if that'd be a good combo, but
it was the only lead-in I could think of.
Yeah, this, I mean, it worked.
This guy's nickname.
The food reference worked, but I'm not sure I want any mayo on my nacho Alvarez.
Maybe some sour cream, but not some mayo.
That'd work.
Sour cream would be good. You could pass it off. It looks the same, pretty much.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, Nacho Alvarez is breaking out right before our eyes, and he's not really recognized as such, but Nacho's the man. And saw him a couple weeks ago now, and he had a massive series in Greenville. He, in the games that the three games that I saw him, two of those three games, he was a triple shy of the cycle both times, had two homer a game. He was just mashing the ball. He had another two home run game, if I'm not mistaken, two nights ago. So he's just on a hot tear right now. And really the biggest thing for him is just lifting the ball. I mean, hits the ball hard. He makes a ton of contact. But Nacho, to me, is a guy that I think really can move up boards. I'm not sure he has the fantasy upside to be like a, you know, crack, go way inside the top 100 type. But he could be a top 100 dude. I mean, because we're talking about since June 1st, a slash of 321, 395, 500. And over that span, having five home runs and nine doubles. And Nacho is just turned 20. Ignacio Alvarez Nacho just turned 20. So he was a guy that was picked in the fifth round last year as a 19-year-old, just turned 20. And I think that there's still more juice in here than we've given him credit for. I think there's at least average game power, and he's an easy plus field to hit as well. So Nacho Alvarez is somebody that I'm pretty in on and certainly am targeting, because I don't think the cost is there yet on him, or the at least the acquisition cost to get him. So I'd go out and get him if you could.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that he's one where the actual value is still considerably higher than the perceived value. So you definitely agree with that. No more food references here, but how about a Clifford the Big Red Dog?
There you go.
That's all I got for this one. But I'm going with Ryan Clifford from the Houston Astros here for my next guy here. Outfielder, a little bit of first base as well. He's played pretty split this year. 25 starts at first base and actually 25. I don't know if you combine. So 41 in the outfield, excuse me, when you combine right and left. But you know, outfielder, first baseman, but really good bat here. You know, he was always known for being a big power bat. You look at a lot of the, you know, tool grades from evaluators going into the draft last year. He was an 11th round pick. So this is a guy that wasn't really on many people's radar, but the power is absolutely there. And he's proven to be a better hitter than people gave him credit for. You know, between low A and high A this year, 324 plate appearances, slashing 284, 407, 485, 14 doubles, 13 home runs, 4 steals, 45 walks to 78 strikeouts. So showing a pretty solid approach. You know, I think that the hit tool has ticked up a bit. Is he going to ever be a high average guy? Probably not. But could he be 250, 260 with, you know, I think he could be 30 plus home runs. I really think that type of power is there. I wish he was a righty at Minute Maid, but you know, he's a lefty, but the power is big here. It's plus, maybe even above plus raw power. And, you know, he was one, I put out a tweet right as the, it was on the 15th. So right as the second half of the season was starting, that, so there were 8 prospects under 20 years old that were playing above rookie ball that had a 400 OBP and a 250 plus ISO over the last 30 days, leading the way in both those categories by a mile was your boy Roman Anthony. And then there was Jefferson Cairo, Samuel Basalo, Michael Arroyo, Blaze Jordan, Brady House, Termar Johnson, and Ryan Clifford as well, who had a 412 and 253 mark respectively there. So yeah, I think it's another one where the perceived value, again, that's the name of the game in Dynasty Leagues, but the perceived value here is a bit lower than it should be. I have him as a kind of a top 100 prospect. I think he's like the 80 to 90 range for me now, and I don't think the price tag is even remotely close to that. So for now, I think he's a great value. I think the perceived value is going to catch up pretty soon here if he keeps doing this over the second half of the season. But for now, Ryan Clifford is a great Dynasty target. And over to Chris with his last target for this episode.
Yeah, I'm weighing on Clifford too. He's top 100 for me, and I think that you can get him much cheaper than that. So
yep, absolutely.
I would be certainly doing so if possible. My last guy is another futures game pitcher, and that's Joey Cantillo, who has not had the best stretch this year since he bumped to AAA. He had a good interview. Arm Layton of Just Baseball interviewed Joey Cantillo and Indy Rodriguez. So I listened to that today, and listening to the way that Cantillo talks, just you sense the drive in his voice. Like he talked about how, you know, he didn't approve of his performance, and obviously, like, everybody's going to want to be better, but you could tell, like, this is a guy that gets up and works every day for what he has. He's had a velo bump this year. He's looking very, very good. It looked great in the futures game. I thought he was a massive standout from what I saw in the futures game, whereas Arsenal just looked incredible. Pitch mix was great. So Joey Cantillo, I think he's going to pitch in the bigs this year. I mean, in Cleveland, it's a crowded space, but you've had some injuries. I think there's a chance that he bumps up soon. We're looking at big upside with strikeouts. There are walk issues, and that's the concern. But there's certainly, he talked about the mentality of living in the zone more. And I could see him really taking a step forward with the command and at least being average command control. But we're just looking at an incredible changeup and fastball. Like, he was pumping the fastball extremely high. And so, I don't know. I just really believe that he could take off. I mean, we're talking about up to 98 in the futures game, a curve that had up to 66 inches of drop, and the changeup just absolute nasty fade, just absolutely good drop. So, yeah, I'm pretty in on Joey Cantillo, and I think that if you look at the surface numbers, it makes him a pretty good buy right now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that I was hoping to see when he was in AA, but didn't have a chance to. They didn't come here, anywhere near here. Unfortunately, though, I think I jinxed Grayson Rodriguez. He gave up some runs here. Overall, ended up only four runs in five innings, but he was cruising through four, gave up four runs in the fifth, excuse me, in the sixth before getting pulled. But yeah, back to my last guy here to round out the show. I'm going with Roderick Arias, shortstop prospect from the New York Yankees. Obviously, the hype on him was huge when he initially signed. He was considered by many people the best, or at least one of the top two or three international signees during that period last year. We got off to a slow start this year, but even with the slow start, which also had a six-game hitless streak in the middle of June, he still has only not gotten on base, in one game out of 24 this year, and currently has hits in, 14 of his last 15 games. And over his, he's really picked it up over his last 14 games here. And I tweeted about this earlier today, so if you saw that tweet, you already know these stats. But looking at a 382, 521, 709 slash over the last 15 games with five home runs, 11 steals, more walks than strikeouts, 23.3% walk rate, 19.2% strikeout rate. He's always shown that patient approach. Like I said, even when he had that six-game hitless streak, he was still getting on base, and the walk rate has been consistently high. Again, small sample size in the minor leagues, but he's always been a high walk rate guy. Had 28 walks last year and 140 plate appearances, 25 this year and 119 plate appearances. It's a guy that has above average to plus power. You have to see how the frame kind of fills out. Still some projection on the frame, not a ton. So I don't think he's going to lose a lot of speed, maybe a little bit, but I think he'll still be an average to above average runner as well. So looking at a guy that could be, I think he could be 25 to 30 home runs at peak. And I think, maybe 10 to 15 steals as well with a good OBP and a potentially solid average as well. I think the hit tool is going to be at least average, maybe even a tick above. We'll see how he progresses over the next few years. Obviously, he's still several years away from the major leagues, only 18 years old at the complex level right now, but really showing a lot of positivity in the profile, all around hitting for power, stealing bags, showing a great approach, hitting for average as well. So I think the price tags, the perceived value is already going up. He's a Yankees prospect, so it's hard to ever really get these guys at too much of a discount, but I think the price tag is still fairly reasonable right now. I have him back within my top 100 right now, and I think the price tags only going to go up from here. So I will round out the show with Roderick Arias as my last target. But that is going to wrap us up again for this episode. The last two episodes have been really fun, giving you a lot of targets here that we're going after in Dynasty League. So hopefully you can get some of these guys onto your rosters. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, DynastyDugout.com, ToolshedFantasy.com for more work from both of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.